People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Could be a run, could be a pass. Never really know what's going to be called or if you're going to audible out of it. We have many riders with 105 The Ticket that make up Cold Omaha. I guess we're going to run with Tom Schreier. Tom Schreier, are you there?
Yeah, I'm like literally 5 minutes outside the X. It took me about an hour to get started. You know, where I was doing some preview stuff. Coming down to the ball.
Did you hear what he said?
Not really.
All I know is it is nutty out there. We're lucky to be here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, and just looking out all the windows on West 7th Street, the cars going back and forth. I can't even imagine getting off on 94 with rush hour on Kellogg, or if you're coming in a different way, whether it be 35E coming from down south, so many different ways. But despite the Wild being down 2-0, the playoff atmosphere here has ramped up even more than when the St. Louis Blues were here last week.
This is unbelievable. I mean, it's Chicago. I mean, these are the people that have knocked us out of the playoffs the last 2 years. So, I mean, it's become quite a rivalry in that we always find ourselves playing them in the postseason play. Yeah. And Chicago is awfully good. I mean, yeah. With Kane, we've talked about that, with Taves. They are loaded. They are just loaded. You kind of go to sleep on it when you come into a series like this, thinking, we're just a lot better team this year. And they seem to be a little bit down. And yeah. Kane's had some issues this year. No. Well, they come to play every night. They certainly know, like Jim Rich said, they know how to play this time of year when it's playoff time.
Yeah. Tom, are you there? Is your phone better?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Okay, yeah, perfect. You wrote a great article at 105theticket.com, one of our head writers at Cold Omaha on 105theticket.com, your new article saying Vikings emphasize character in this year's draft, and boy, did they. It seemed like every time they draft, whether it be Trey Waynes or Eric Hendricks, Danelle Hunter, every time you'd hear Rick Spielman go to the podium, he'd talk about what kind of leader they are, what kind of character they have. Which is great and fantastic for another thing that I think you said, that the Vikings led the league in arrests since what year was it? 2000,
I believe.
Yeah, since 2000, they've led the league in arrests. And so this is a little bit of a league-wide thing. Obviously, you're alluded to what's going on with Seattle. Just in general, I don't think Jameis Winston, that situation looks good for the league either, along with multiple players that are already in the league. But it's also a Minnesota Vikings thing, and it just seems like there's players here that have gotten themselves into trouble. It might be a little bit Adrian Peterson, going back to Brian McKinney and Randy Moss, as I alluded to in the article. And there's been many other arrests. Even Adrian Peterson, before the whole child abuse allegation, had the deal in the nightclub in Houston. So I think, this is one of the things. The first thing that stood out to me was that Spielman, then Zimmer, then Waynes all talked about character at that introductory press conference. So I decided to take that angle, and I think it's something that's important. I think the Vikings should have players that they're proud of. And I think, if anything, Mike Zimmer's a no-nonsense guy, and he's not going to put up with a lot of that.
I totally agree with that. I think that Mike Zimmer is probably the last person in the world you want to come in here and start not acting the way you should act. I think that he has his own culture of accountability down there with the Vikings. And I think that everyone knows after you go through a couple practices with him what you're in for. I think he'd be the last guy in the world to cross. And to start doing things your way, that it doesn't work.
But seriously, I mean, when I think about the Cincinnati Bengals, and I know he wasn't the head coach there, Marvin Lewis was, but I'm surprised that they didn't beat us in arrests.
They're number two.
Okay.
And by about two arrests short of
and
us.
And then the Dallas Cowboys got to be right behind them too at number three, because maybe you hear about teams that have players in trouble all the time, and it's either the Vikings' love boat, obviously Adrian Peterson just never ends, whether it be drinking and driving, Jerome Simpson getting tased and sprayed in the face with pepper spray by Tom Johnson. It's ridiculous. So it is nice to see, and it was fun to watch and listen to the Minnesota Vikings continually bring out another draft pick and another draft pick, or talk about drafting who they drafted, and you could just see excitement on Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman's face about the leadership and the character and what these guys have done for their respective communities and their colleges and some of these things that they've made a difference. And it's nice to see that turnaround by the Minnesota Vikings instead of hearing about some sort of, whether it be domestic abuse or a drunk driving arrest or what. Let's talk about what's on the field, not about what these players are doing off the field if it's something bad. I mean, if it's something good where Jared Allen's building houses for wounded warriors, that's fantastic. But it's been far too much the other way since 2000, obviously. It's been awful. So I think it's a move in the right direction. And so are you pinning this right on Mike Zimmer? Because Spielman's been in charge of the draft for a long time, and continually these players keep coming in that I wouldn't necessarily say are troublemakers, but trouble tends to find them. And when you're, as you know, if you're a National Football League player and you're out in public, trouble finds you. People want to fight you because you're the big guy or this or that or the other thing. And you have to mind your P's and Q's like nobody's business, because trouble will find you.
They know that you're making the money, and so they would love to be able to put together a little scheme to try and find a way to get to your money. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty good at that. Setups in bars. The league comes and talks to the players every single year in training camp about that, about being set up in a bar or a fight. Someone picks it, makes you swing, you hit somebody, bang, they get your money.
Civil lawsuit. Anything.
It could be anything, but literally, and it's not on Mike, it's on Spielman to get these kind of guys here, but under Mike Zimmer, you don't want to act up when you get down on the field.
No.
You don't want to be that guy that he catches on the field after a night out on the town where you've been arrested, now you face the consequences, and you know what, it's costing the team, it's detrimental with the team because you're not even out there. Mike Zimmer, I think, would probably have a pretty good, a little talk with you up in his office, that little corner office with the windows. And Tom Schreier, I mean, I'm sure that some of these kids, our draft choices from this season, they certainly look the part. It sounds like they've assessed character into this thing. They've weighed into it carefully. Otherwise, they could have gone with
Lael Collins or Randy Gregory from Washington. I mean, there are a ton of them. Or Shane Ray got in trouble the day before the draft, pulled over speeding with marijuana in his car. I mean, there were so many players with unbelievable talent, but just had a quick brush up with the law, whatever it may be, but at the absolute wrong time, testing positive for weed going into the combine. It's great that the Minnesota Vikings stood pat where they were and then just let talent follow them. And it was the right talent, right, Tom?
Yeah, exactly. And I think going to the point you guys made, is it Spielman or Zimmer? At least if you take them at their word, Spielman talked before the draft and he said, I really do rely on kind of what Mike says. And he said that he can kind of anticipate what he's going to say about each player. I think the no-nonsense stuff really does come from Zimmer. And something he emphasized, again, with Trey Waynes, but also with Teddy Bridgewater and with Harrison Smith, and with, Anthony Barr and Jerick McKinnon and all these guys. And I kind of talked about it. If you look at the group they have, kind of that young talent and who I think people believe will bring a winning team to Minnesota, especially as they, open their new stadium, they're pretty likable guys. People are going to make mistakes, and there's a big difference between what Shane Ray did and what, another player who's involved in domestic violence or who's involved, with the hit and run or drunk driving did. But people do make mistakes. I mean, we'll have to realize that. But when there's a pattern like that, and when you've had more arrests than anyone else since 2000, and when the Vikings are just kind of known for Love Boat scandal and the Wizinator and all these kind of goofy things, that becomes part of your brand. And I think they want to change that brand around. And so I think it's a joint effort between Zimmer and Spielman. But I think, like I said, Spielman kind of has his guy where, he knows his guy on the ground there, Zimmer. And I think Turner, to a certain extent, too, are no-nonsense guys, and that they just want to win football games, and they don't want to deal with, who was out drinking last night or who was, who's involved with some domestic issue or something like that. I think they just want, a quality product on the field, and they want to probably change the branding of the Minnesota Vikings as well.
I think it's a pretty good assessment on your part. I think you have high character. That's how I weigh into you.
Thank you.
No, I really don't mean that. It must be hell to be a punk loser all day. I spoke too soon.
No, come on, go nice.
He's the best ever. But awesome. You're supposed to show up with hot dogs.
No, that's the other guy. That's Chris Shad. This is the guy that's supposed to show up with
hamburgers.
No, but we're at Tom Reed's. We don't need anybody to bring those steak and nachos.
Hold on. I can't walk into Tom Reed's with a whole bunch of hamburgers. People will just take them.
I know. We don't want you to walk into Tom. We are plenty taken care of with food here. The best food in the business, the nachos, the game day nachos. I was licking my plate. They were so good. But Friday, when you come to the studio on Friday, we want your gourmet burgers.
Or you can meet me out in the parking lot. That's fine. I'd take the hamburgers out there, too, to drive home with. But either way, go ahead.
I assure you I will bring you hamburgers. I got hamburger meat. I got some spices. I got some sauce. You guys can be full. I'm going to feed the superstar.
Perfect. I like I like 50-50 burgers, hamburger mixed with ground bacon. So make that happen.
Wow.
But Tom Schreier, we got to go, my man. Yeah, we got to go. Have fun at the game tonight. We'll follow you on Twitter and talk to you and tweet all that stuff. Make sure you find your way to the XL Energy Center. We think they're going to win. We'll be back down here on Thursday for Game 4 as well with the Minnesota Wild, hopefully down just 2-1. So, Tom Schreier, enjoy the game tonight. Cole Omaha, 105theticket.com. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
He didn't sound very thankful. No, he didn't sound to me at all like he was serious about it or that he meant that. We're going to talk with Mark Parrish. He knows the game of hockey, and he's been here with the Wild. He's been with the Stars, the Dallas Stars for a while. Had a chance to speak with him the last couple times with the playoffs going in St. Louis, and we're going to talk to him some more now that they're in against the Chicago Blackhawks and playing the third game in this series. We're down 0-2, and we'll talk about all of that with Mark Parrish right after the break.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
The approach that we took right from the drop of the puck was not the right one, and so it's got to start with some excitement. I know it's frustrating that, you know, to be down 2-0, but the fact of the matter is it's not like we played our game. If we're going to be frustrated with anything, we should be frustrated with ourselves a little bit here. We're one of 8 teams that's still competing here, and so we've got still a heck of an opportunity that we have to get excited about that challenge.
Sees the best of an opportunity, and that begins tonight here at home. Things didn't go very well on the road against Chicago. 2 tough losses. Here we go. It's time to play some hockey, and I mean, it's time to get after a little bit,
you
change
like
the style
Adrian
up.
Peterson.
I know, I feel
it's
like
it's time to play hockey.
Oh, yeah, I said it just like that. Mark Parrish, you're standing by. These guys are going to have to get physical, aren't they? I mean, they've got to change this game. Speed against speed doesn't seem to be working.
No. They have definitely got to do a 180 with their game choice right now. They are just trying to open it up and play a skilled game against a team that's got way too much skill. They need to get in Kane, K's. So these guys are freewheeling. They've got to start knocking people on their butt.
Yeah, I mean, Stewart's out, though. What do? You bring in Carter? You bring in Cook? I mean, you got to lay some people out? How did we go about that? We don't have that kind of – we're not built that way, are we?
Not necessarily, but it's a mentality. This is the playoffs now. This isn't where you're just looking at guys that are physical players like Stewart, or even if you're bringing a guy like Matt Cook and you expect him to play that way and he will play physical, he'll play hard. It has to start at the top. It starts with guys like Vanek and Pominville and guys that necessarily don't play a physical style of hockey in the regular season. Well, that's great and fine and dandy during the regular season, but this is playoffs now. Everybody's got to play physical, whether it's just stepping in front of a guy. You don't have to knock them on their butt. It doesn't have to knock somebody off their feet to clear the puck or to free the puck. That's all they have to do is create puck separation so they can get the puck. And then, secondly, when they do get the puck, they got to stop turning it over in the neutral zone. All the things they were doing so well in St. Louis, keeping smart puck plays and keeping the game moving forward and then in their direction, just kind of seem to go out the window at game 1 and 2.
Amen, brother. We're talking to Mark Parrish. We are live here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub before game 3, round 2, Minnesota Wild, Chicago Blackhawks. Mark, you were just talking about, and so was the superstar, talking about the Wild having to get more aggressive. And don't you think that the momentum would shift and the Wild players would get off their butts on the bench and cheer if Thomas Vanek were to lay a guy out? Thomas Vanek doesn't seem to be one of those guys. He doesn't necessarily play the best of defense. He hasn't been scoring quite often. I mean, he and Captain Koivu are in a bit of a funk. But if you see Captain Koivu or Thomas Vanek lay somebody out or even just put him into the boards, that's going to turn things around. And it, like you said, it starts from the top. But we also need Nino Niederreiter to do it. And then it continues to go all the way down. Zach Parise is doing everything he possibly can. But I honest to God think, and I would get off my couch at my house if Thomas Vanek were to pull somebody into the boards, because that would be uncharacteristic of him. But what the Wild need to do to overcome the Chicago Blackhawks, especially at home here?
I couldn't agree more with you, actually. Tommy Vanek could come out and score a goal in the first shift of the game, and it wouldn't send a lightning bolt through that bench like it would if you were to come in and just lay somebody out. This is the playoffs. Everybody expects him to score. He's not finding the back of the net now, but that's what he's expected to do. What makes the playoffs greater is watching players like that, Janik and Koivu, when they get to this level that they do things that are out of the ordinary. They lay down and block shots. They run somebody over, and that's what makes the playoffs so exciting. And right now, it's just they're missing that edge that they had that first game or first series against St. Louis. There's not that fire in their belly.
Yeah, there does just seem to be that loss of that gumption, that fighting sort of spirit that you have to have in sports, just to dig and to get nasty in the corners and to rough people up, irritate them. You know, the antagonist thing, that someone has to piss someone off against with Chicago tonight. I mean, that's going to be the key, I think, for us to relight this fire and get the pilot light going for the next three or four weeks of our games and make this thing happen.
Absolutely, and it's got to happen tonight. Maybe it's not technically a must-win, but if we think we're going to come back and win four games in a row against Chicago Blackhawks with all the rings they got on their fingers, we got another thing coming. Tonight's a much bigger game than tomorrow night.
No kidding. We're talking about Mark Parrish. And, Mark, what's the feeling to be down two games to nothing? Obviously, you're coming back. The Wild are coming back home here to their home ice, the XL Energy Center, the home of the home ice advantage. We talked about that a ton, and we make fun of that saying. But it truly, no fans, and it's not as loud anywhere else as it gets here at the XL Energy Center. What's it like being a player coming back to your house, down two games to none, really being dominated, especially in that second game, what looked like being dominated in the first period, but coming back in the second and third period in the first game. But a team like the Chicago Blackhawks that for the last 3 years has really dominated the Wild, especially in the playoffs. What is that feeling like as a player?
There's a little bit of nerves, but a lot more enthusiasm, because it gets that tonight's the night type feeling where you have a little trouble sleeping because you know what, hey, boys, this is where we separate the men from the boys. We make the decision how our year is going to happen tonight and with the older guys, and you'll see that. They should, like you said, especially when you get into your own building, it's amazing what the crowd here, I've been lucky enough to hear it and be a part of it. The way that they can absolutely make any kind of lactic acid or tiredness vanish from your legs with the way they can get behind it. It's amazing. You can just feel like you're flying on the ice, and they're going to need it tonight. And, you know, if they come out in the first 10 minutes and just blow the doors off Chicago and you know, let them know they're in for a game, that's as good as we can ask for.
I think that's it right there. That's what Tom Reed has said it. Jim Rich has said it. Of course, we know that you know what this takes. What is your prediction? I know that Tom Reed also said it kind of takes them coming out of the tunnel tonight to find out how they take the ice tonight before we'll ever really know if they're going to have a chance. But how do you see it? I mean, I know that Ben just pretty much asked you this, but is there a feeling in your gut right now, Mark, about this game and the way it's going to go tonight?
I absolutely think Wild are going to blow their doors off. I expect with the character that they have not lost back-to-back games since January, this team. So that shows a lot of character. That shows what kind of people are in that locker room. And I expect that kind of leadership and character to step up tonight. And literally, I expect them to come out and not let Chicago breathe. I think the only chance Chicago has of winning this thing is if Crawford stands on his head. I expect it to be 3 or 4 to 1 Wild.
I really hope so. Mark Parrish, thanks for coming on, my man. We love and trust you to death and appreciate the brilliance of the hockey knowledge you bring to this radio program. So go Wild, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again later on this week.
Anytime. Thank you very much, guys. Yeah, hopefully for a few more weeks.
Yes, no kidding.
No kidding. Let's onward and upward from here. Mark Parrish, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
We have a mic break.
Oh, boy.
Tell you what we're going to do for Mike's break. I think I'm going to get up and just break something.
Oh,
let's just break something.
Perfect.
Why not? We'll come back and talk about a guest that we'll have on tomorrow at 4:45. Is that correct? Or 5:55?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, we have T.J. Clemmings on.
T.J. Clemmings.
From the University of Pittsburgh, number 4 draft pick. He's wearing number 68. Let's come back and talk about him a little bit. I watched a couple things, a whole game last night of his highlights. And then some one-on-one. Yeah, the
Where'd
whole
you see
game.
That? On the internets?
On
the damn internet.
Interweb. On the interweb. Come on back, everyone. We're at Tom Reed's for a little while. About 40 more minutes here before everyone unloads this place and heads over to the XL Energy Center for the beginning of the third game. Chicago
Blackhawks. The first game.
Well, really kind of the first.
It's the first.
The first that we need.
It's the first game of a movement tonight.
The big push against the Minnesota Wild. So come on back, and we're going to talk it. We're going to talk a little T.J. Clemmings next.
Sports Radio 105, the ticket.
The ticket. Every now and then, every now and then. Every now and then. Timing's everything.
It's all right. David's doing a hell of a job. He's been working. He had to.
Hi, guy.
He had to get through Bob Stansevier's show. He's a big part of that show, and then he's been kind enough to stay on with us while we're at Tom Reed's. A heck of a job back at the radio station.
Yeah, very much so. And Greg, good enough to put on some Pantera last break and a little AC/DC right now. And we got to give away some tickets again. So we're gonna ask all you callers. Caller number 15 at 651-989-9105. That's 651-989-9105. You win a pair of tickets to go see the Red Hot Minnesota Twins square off against the Oakland A's tomorrow, Wednesday, at Target Field.
It's so, not pronounced Wednesday. Wednesday. Okay.
Caller 15. Again, the number 651-989-9105.
Zach's doing a great job. He's answering the phones, too. I hope we didn't give these away already.
Yeah.
I don't think we did.
Well,
just in case. Because last time we were at Tom Reed's, I got a phone call about this time going, what are you doing? Sorry to interrupt. Caller 15, 651-989-9105.
Yeah, so good luck, Susie Pants. Yeah. We were talking about T.J. Clemmings coming on the show with us tomorrow.
Yes.
5 o'clock.
It's going to be awesome.
We're pretty juiced up about that one. It's always good to get some of the new guys in here. And in a timely fashion. I mean, they're brand new to the team. Just coming off of the draft weekend, it's kind of exciting. Their first week in town, and the buzz is going about these new guys that we've got going on the team. One of the best ones of that bunch, of that grouping. Trey Wayne's a fantastic player. Absolutely. Eric Kendricks, fantastic player. You know that. Another one that we got, the big man, T.J. Clemmings, the big right tackle from Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh. We got him as well in the fourth round, an absolute steal. Everyone talking about what a steal he is in the draft to go to the Vikings at number four. He was a first round kind of guy, a foot issue.
But not even a big foot issue. Nobody ever noticed the foot issue until the combine, and he said it's never bothered him. He hasn't sat out any practices, missed games. It was an old injury that he didn't even know he had that had calcified that scared teams away, thankfully.
And it's because they do such an extensive and thorough a physical on these guys that they found it. And so it became an issue. And enough of an issue that he dropped from the first round down to the fourth, so it was a kind of a tough thing for the kid. It made a big difference in his paychecks and the way he'll be paid because it's fourth round. But
just at the beginning of his career, but once he becomes an all-pro like we think and hope to God that obviously he will be, he's number 68 for Pete's sakes, he's going to be the next superstar, T.J. Clemmings.
I think he's going to be a good player.
But I'll never forget sitting at the office on the patio before the Twins game last Friday talking to you about, who did the Minnesota Vikings take in the second round here, because it's starting and we're on the radio and it's starting here in just a couple of minutes, and obviously Eric Kendricks if he's there, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone. Do you take a Trey Jackson? Do you take AJ Cann, the guard from South Carolina, or do you take T.J. Clemmings, a tackle that's falling? I'll never forget that. And then I would never have thought that come Saturday, he wasn't even picked at all at the second or third round on Friday. He's picked on Saturday by the Minnesota Vikings. I think the steal of the draft, in my opinion.
He honestly should have been a first rounder. A lot of people had him figured that way. I watched a lot of highlights from T.J. Clemmings last night, knowing he was going to come on the show someday, sooner or later. And that happens to be tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So tune in. You'll get to hear the big man talk. I saw him up at the podium. I listened to a couple of interviews. He's a very intelligent, sharp guy. Mm-hmm. But the game that he played, I think it was against West Virginia, he was just killing people.
High character guy, too, is what Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer were going for in this draft. Another thing I'll never forget, too, either, is when coming over to your house on Saturday to watch the Manny Pacquiao fight, walking in going, dude, T.J. Clemmings, we got him. You knew that we got him, but I said, you got to watch this film. You got to watch this video. And I showed, and the first thing you said was his feet. Amazing. And that's what popped off right away to me, is he is so electric. He was on the defensive line and had just transitioned to being an offensive lineman 2 years ago. He had a scholarship offer to play basketball and football for Duke, Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. He's a player, man, and I'm so excited. I'm geeked about having him on, and it was funny because the Vikings said, TJ Clemmings will come on because it's somebody you can relate, a big meaty guy that's somebody that you can relate to. So maybe you can bust a bump chest tomorrow or something.
It would be fun if he could come in the studio. It would be so much fun. But he's a monster, and it's fun to scout these guys out and take a look at what you've got. You know, it's like opening up a Christmas present.
Yeah.
To see these new draft choices and to find out what they are, who they are, and what they're like. And we're going to bring you a pretty good sampling of that tomorrow when he joins the show at 5 o'clock. Yeah. So TJ Clemmings looked very impressive on film. And former defensive lineman, then offensive lineman, and now he says he'll play either side of the ball, he said in an interview last night. Wow. Doesn't matter. And either side of the offensive line. I'll go left tackle, right tackle, wherever they want me.
I don't put it past him either. I think he can do anything. Hey, he's so talented.
Put him at left guard. That's for sure if they want to. But we're going to take a little break and come back because we've got some Stanley Cup trivia.
Yes.
That we've got to get to when we come back. So we're going to need a couple callers. Give us a call. We need two contestants, 651-989-9105. That's 651-989-9105. Three questions each, all multiple choice. And winners get to choose between a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Twins game against the Oakland A's or the already sold-out Northern Invasion at Somerset Amphitheater featuring Slipknot, Five Finger Death Punch, Volbeat, and more. Two contestants, 651-989-9105. Good luck, Sissy Pants. We'll be right back. We're at Tom Reed's, brought to you by Rogoszewski, Rogoszewski, and Atkins. Come on back. The Stanley Cup Tribune.
Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
Now you can learn some Spanish phrases that don't really make much sense.
Quiero chillar con huevos.
I like to scream with eggs.
Nunca confié. Una basura puede.
Never trust a trash can.
Tiene su jabón mal aliento.
Does your soap have bad breath?
Patéame por favor porque soy estúpido.
Please kick me because I'm stupid.
Those are some phrases for you, and they don't make much sense.
Now you know the Spanish. I love this song. This is some badass stuff. Is it Metallica? I think it's Metallica. Yeah, this is Metallica. Ain't no diggity like no diggity, you know what I'm saying?
The Devil's Dance?
Yeah.
Devil's Dance, no question. That one locked and loaded in my system.
We need one more contestant.
We need another one. Hey, call us up, 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. Get aboard. Play a little Stanley Cup trivia. Three questions to each contestant. And, of course, they're multiple choice. And I am a lifeline. I'm a lifeline for Stan. Stanley Cup. One?
Suppose so. Not really sure. But here we go. Let's go to contestant number one. Yeah, if we can't get, maybe we'll, I think we have Mark from Saint something or other. But
we got two of them.
Let's go to Chip from Burnsville. Chip from Burnsville, you're on 105 The Ticket with the superstar Mike Morris and me, Ben Holson. We're live at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Fantastic.
Very good, very good. Have you ever had your ass cooled with a folding chair?
Not that I recall.
Okay, well, good. That's fine.
It's the first time for everything.
You're living righteously.
Chip, three questions, all of them multiple choice. The superstar Mike Morris can be your lifeline, although he says that he's probably not going to be of very much help.
I don't think so.
All these questions about the Stanley Cup, you can try if you want to. Question one, here we go. If you're ready, we'll do this. There's only one player in NHL history that has captained two different teams to a Stanley Cup championship. Who is he? Is it A, Mark Messier, B, Wayne Gretzky, C, Eric Lindros, or D, Jaromír Jágr?
I'm going to go with Mark Messier.
You would be correct. Captain both the Edmonton Oilers and the New York Rangers to championships. Here we go. Question number two in Stanley Cup trivia. How many Stanley Cups are there? Is there A, 1, B, 3, C, 5, D, 7?
There are three Stanley Cups, I believe.
Well, this guy's pretty smart. Three is correct. Stanley Cup, there was original from 1892, known as the Dominion Hockey Challenge. It was awarded until 1970. It is now on display at the Vault Room at the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. In 1963, NHL president Clarence Campbell believed that the original cup had become too brittle to give to championship teams, so the Presentation Cup was created. It is the well-known trophy that's awarded today. The Final Cup is a replica of the Presentation Cup, which was created in 1993, and that's used as a stand-in at the Hall of Fame when the Presentation Cup isn't available. Question number three, you're on fire. There are numerous spelling errors on the Stanley Cup, including the mishap of Dickie Moore, who won the cup six times but had his name spelled differently five of those times. Which of the following is not how Moore's name is inscribed on the Stanley Cup? Is it A, Dickie Moore, B, Richard Moore, C, Rich Moore, or D, Dick Moore?
The question, well, you know what?
Probably going to need a lifeline on that one.
I might stick my lifeline on that.
I just want to say it again. I think it's Dick Moore. Oh, well. Okay.
What do you say, Chip from Burnsville? Are you going to go with Dick Moore as the answer?
I'm going to go with the superstar on that one.
Did you just say Dick Moore? Yes.
Yeah, you'd be correct. Dick Moore is correct.
You say I don't know anything about Stanley Cup trivia. I know Dick Moore.
Dick Moore. Three for three, Chip. Hold on the line. You'll more than likely be the winner unless there's a tiebreaker, but hold on the line, Chip. Let's go to Mark from Edina. Mark from Edina, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Yeah, I'm here.
Mark, tell me. Yeah, I hear you. Oh, I hear you. Listen, how much do you bench press?
I would say 150.
Okay.
150. All right.
Good. That's great.
Here we go, Mark from Edina. Question number one. Three questions, all of them multiple choice. You can use the superstar Mike Morris as your lifeline. Here we go.
Okay.
Number one, the Stanley Cup has gone to war. Yeah, it's gone to war in hopes of lifting American and Canadian troops' spirits. Which war zone did the Stanley Cup go to? Is it A, Iraq, B, Germany, C,
Iraq,
Vietnam, D, Afghanistan?
Iraq.
No, I'm sorry. That is not correct. You have been disqualified. So let's go to Chip from Burnsville. Chip, you either get to go to the sold out Northern Invasion
disqualified.
Tour.
That's funny.
Northern Invasion Tour. But Mark, don't go anywhere, my man. Hang on the line because you get either the Twins tickets.
You get absolutely
no, come
nothing
on.
Because you deserve nothing.
Stop it. He's a nice man.
No, he's not.
How do you know? Do you know him?
I can tell.
He's just not very
really
good.
Bench is 150.
Well, so do I. I don't think I bench very much.
Oh, well.
Look at these Blackhawks fans.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, you Blackhawk fans, get out of the bar right now.
Go home.
All you Blackhawk fans, get out of here.
Can you go home?
Well, all right. I think I'm stirring things up right here.
I accidentally put my hand in pee. It's wet over here.
But it's mine.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just could not hold it. I could not hold it, so it's on the bar.
All right. Well, that was uneventful.
Well.
Or quite eventful.
Are you going to let him pick his tickets, or are you just going to leave him hanging there?
I don't know. Mark? Are you there, Mark? No. Who is this? Chip? No, Chip can pick
right
on the phone. Whatever. It's all screwed. Hi, Chip. Are you going to Northern Invasion this weekend? Sold out show at Somerset, Slipknot, Volbeat, Five Finger Death Punch. Are you going to the Twins game tomorrow?
Sounds like Northern Invasion.
Yes.
Wow.
No, that's a big deal, man.
That's how you do it right there.
It's an all-day festival, so make sure you bring your big boy pants because there'll be plenty of drinking and plenty of rock and roll.
I'll be ready.
So thanks for playing, my man.
Thank you.
All right.
He was three for three. The other guy wasn't going to get there.
The other guy didn't even get one correct. So.
He wasn't even listening. You weren't even done listing everything up. Yeah. Iraq. Shut up. What an idiot.
Can you say 105 The Ticket, Radioactive Sports, or whatever it is you say? Because I have to go to the bathroom.
No, I think now that I know that, I'm not going to say it at all, and I want you to go to the bathroom right there. Just go ahead and pee your pants.
Can you just hurry up and say what if you go to the commercials?
I forget. 105 Sports.
No, God.
Sports 105, The Ticket.
Sillier Side of Sports.
Sillier Side of Sports, True Superstar. We'll wrap it up.
Yes.
Go to the bathroom.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
Today is Cinco de Mayo.
Celebrates Mexico's victory in the Battle of Puebla.
It turns out this year Cinco de Mayo falls on the 5th of May.
Cinco de Mayo is the fourth drunkest holiday.
It's been almost a year since the last time I threw up in a sombrero.
No Cinco de Mayo would be complete without great food and great music.
You order for me a burrito supreme.
Pura haya dicho nada que todo lo mío.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Oh,
nachos, Cinco de Mayo. That's why I had nachos today. Seeing nachos and margaritas and Jose Cuervo and shots of tequila. Mas tequila. All over the social media web, Delio. Still your side of sports. You are the superstar, Mike Morris. You poor, unfortunate soul. You have to work with me every single day.
Yes, I do.
Still your side of sports, though. Mike Wallace today proclaims he is the fastest man in the NFL.
As long as he can catch the damn ball and get open.
He says, quote, without a doubt, I am the fastest player in the NFL.
Oh, without a doubt.
If somebody feels foggy about that, we can race. I'm never going to back down from competition. I've run a lot of routes, and I've got a lot of miles on my legs, but I still feel that there's nobody who can run with me. I might have slowed down a little bit, but I can still run a 4.25.40.
Okay. Well, that's great. Why don't you go out for the Olympics? We need you for football. Settle down, dude. Your attitude is too much.
Already.
He's already too much. Just shut up and play football.
Hasn't even played a game yet.
Yeah, just settle down. Settle down. We don't need you to line up and race anybody. Just catch the damn football when they throw it to you. And just be a really, really good teammate. And don't be a pouter. And don't be the guy that goes into the locker room early because he's mad or pissed off about the route you got to run. Just do what you're supposed to do and shut up.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Hey, look, you know, don't pick a sprint or some sort of race in the off season. Just get to work.
Yeah.
Just get to work. We don't care about the other stuff.
Amen, brother.
Everyone else is going to be running out there. Do win sprints with everybody else and beat them every time.
Yeah.
Go. Ready, go.
Randy Gregory. Taking second in the NFL draft, second round in the NFL draft because he smokes a little weed. Pretty talented.
A little?
Yeah. Well... Gregory's thankful. He has some questions surrounding his mental toughness, I guess, some mental problems as well, according to most scouts. But Gregory, so happy to be a Cowboy that just one day after being drafted by the Cowboys, he went right to the tattoo parlor and has a massive star now tattooed on his arm. How do you feel about that?
Are you sure that's a star, or is that like the five leaves of a marijuana? Was it a star, or was it five?
That's funny.
Really funny leaves to make it look like a star.
That's funny.
Oh, well. I think he's going to be a good football player. I mean, he's going to settle down a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, what about Shane Ray? He ended up in the right spot. He ended up in Denver.
Yeah, where you can smoke some weed, man. Know what I'm saying?
It's league policy. He ain't going to get to smoke no dope. He's going to put the dope down.
Silliest sides of sports. Hulk Hogan claimed the other day that he almost got involved in the UFC in the promotion's early years. He was 40 at the time. He's in Australia spouting off about some things. He said, quote, "We looked at it. It was very violent. And the referees weren't stopping the matches and letting guys get beat up. And they should have been stopped. So we just didn't want to have any part of it because it has become quite the phenomenon." Campbell McLaren, as the co-founder of UFC, immediately put those rumors to bed saying, "I call BS," but he said the real word on Hulk Hogan. I never wanted him in the UFC. Nor do I think, this is me talking now, nor do I think that he could last in the UFC, for God's sakes. I mean, Brock Lesnar, one of the toughest, strongest guys I've ever seen in my entire life, didn't do super-duper well in the UFC.
He won the World Heavyweight Championship twice.
But then what happened? He had a couple of...
He got beat, but he took it as high as you could take it, I'll put it that way.
Well,
but I would say this, the only thing I would want to see Hulk Hogan do right now is race Mike Wallace. That's all I want. Is it asking that much just to see Hulk Hogan square off against Mike Wallace?
No, it's not.
I think he beats him. I think he beats Mike Wallace. Okay. All right.
Mike Evans.
Pretty good receiver, Tampa Bay, out of Texas A&M.
Said he wanted Winston over Mariota.
Yeah, he did. He's lying. He has to say that.
Yeah.
He had to say that. I don't know. I mean, shoot, if... They got great receivers on that squad. So, I mean, if he puts it up anywhere even near where they are, they're going to go up and get it. But I don't know. Winston is the big question mark. In all the drafts, like the last 10, 12 years, he is one of those guys you have to worry about from day one, as far as I'm concerned. I think he's going to be a problem off the field. He might be a decent football player, but I don't know. I think he's going to act up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Isaiah Thomas, he has now been hired by the New York Liberty. He's going to be the president of the New York Liberty, the WNBA. He also gets an ownership stake in the team. Why do basketball teams keep giving Thomas a job after he's ruined multiple NBA franchises and then almost basically destroyed, I think, sent him to bankruptcy, the NBA D League when it was called the CBA? And do people not learn from history and go, okay, everywhere he's been, he has completely screwed up everything he's ever touched. So let's give him another chance.
I think the best chance for Isaiah Thomas right now is to put down the idea of basketball
and race Mike
Wallace. Is to race Mike Wallace and see if he can't beat him.
You are
because he cannot manage. He's not an administrator. No, I mean, go back to basketball. You'd have a better chance of going back and playing the game.
I know.
Or just race Mike Wallace.
You are the sillier side of sports. The superstar Mike Morris. Count my blessings to get to work with you every single day. And I'm not just saying that because you're sitting right next to me like Mike Evans had to say about Jameis Winston. I would say that if you're not here. I say it when you're not here, actually. But we got to go. We got to get out of here. Minnesota Wild playing game three tonight, and it's going to be amazing. I'm predicting a win. You're predicting
a
win.
Too, yeah. So Mark Parrish predicting a win, and so is Jim Rich. So I think that Mark Parrish actually stated 4-1.
Yeah.
True superstar. I'm going to get on with this because we have a hard out. And look, we're not going to leave out a guy like this. Army Sergeant Major Wardell Turner, 48, from Natticoke, Maryland, assigned to the headquarters U.S. Army Garrison, Fort Drum, New York, died November 24th in Kabul, Afghanistan. A wound suffered in a vehicle-borne improvised explosive attack. 48 years old. What a great-looking man. You can tell he was a proud soldier and a career guy. Army Sergeant Major Wardell Turner is my true superstar for the day. And if you would, just keep him in your hearts and prayers as you move along during your busy days. Just remember how lucky you've got it. Good night.
Sweat and blood.